With one hand, we reach back to the tried and tested principles which have dethroned principalities and powers. And with the other, we reach forward to the purpose, the power of God for a new generation. All right, you can be seated. We're going to talk a little bit about immutable law, immeasurable grace. You got it? Immutable law, immeasurable grace. These two are a seeming paradox. You know what a paradox is? It's a contradiction. These two things seem to completely and entirely be incompatible. Say them again. Immutable law and immeasurable grace. Immutable law, that means it cannot be changed nor altered. Ever. It is law. Now, I know in America, we've lost sight of the rule of law. Because the rule of law, Lady Justice, is blindfolded. Are you with me? Meaning the law is the same for everybody, all the time, no matter what. That's immutable law. And then, what's the second? Immeasurable grace. So how can these two be compatible? One is immutable, the other is immeasurable. One is law, one is grace. If you ever learn the scriptural reality of how to balance these things in your life, you are going to become a spiritual giant. I mean, like they're going to write about you in history books. They're going to record you in heaven. Because these two are such polar opposites. And yet, there is a place where you can go, where your life comes into perfect harmony with both. But there's only one place. No place else can you find it. There is no cave into which you can crawl deep enough to discover it. There are no volumes in the libraries of the world that will give you an indication of its location. But if you find it, you are going to balance and be, you know, the problem with physical bodies and health, you're out of balance. A lot of mental problems arise from, watch, an imbalance in things that need to be balanced. Right? Okay. So we're looking for a balanced Christian life. That there's no one in this room, if listening, will not and willing, will not be changed to the core of your spiritual life by this message. It's that important. And I will be very honest with you. Concerning doctrines, there are issues, right? First of all, there's a divorce in the church. And the children, spiritual children, which is most believers, are suffering. Because they're either fatherless or motherless. If you study the eagle nature of God as Moses described it, as he was sitting watching a great eagle fly, and he gave four characteristics of God. Two of them are feminine. Two of them are masculine. Perfect harmony. That's where you have to get to. I'm going to shout this as loud as I can. The longer I live, and it's not my quote, I heard it from Dr. Billy Graham when I was in my mid-20s, wrote it down. And I've had it as a cornerstone in my life. Speaking about balance. The longer I live, said Dr. Billy Graham, the less dogmatic I become. Can I really flip you out right now? Because you're listening really well, and I love it. Can I flip you out right now? You are doing things that are wrong. You are doing things that grieve the Holy Spirit. And if for one second in your mind at hearing that you say, not me, you are the most deceived so-called believer listening to me right now. You have a religious spirit. You have stopped being pliable, teachable. You have not an ounce of true humility. You're out of balance. Say balance. Now we're going to balance immutable law and immeasurable grace. This is the divorce in the church. And people sit on this side and criticize and condemn people on that side. Legalists. People on this side condemn, criticize, go on social media and like and comment on craziness about other believers. They're over here. These are the legalists among us. These are the scribes, the Pharisees, the lawyers of the kingdom. They have been graced by God to be the traffic cop who arrests you and then the prosecutor who prosecutes you, and then the judge that condemns you. There are people that are so deceived, they think they're doing God justice. This group criticizing that group. This group criticizing this group. And in between, the poor people of God are being killed by the friendly fire from both sides. Now, Orthodox, this is not for babies. Right? This is for full-grown folk. So if I give you something, you can't chew the bone. Just spit it out. Just keep eating the fat. Amen? All right. Now go back. I want my text. Well, what are we doing? Luke 6:37. You ready? You're not ready that stuff like this is in the Bible. If you'd read it more, you'd know. Here we go. Jesus said, shout, the words are in red. Jesus said, not the preacher said, not the deacon said, not the church board said, not some cuckoo on social media. Jesus said, forsake the habit of criticizing. Forsake the habit of judging others. Used to be an old song. You had to be pretty old to remember this one. I was in here the other day doing some television and it hit me. Wow, that was cool. It must be magic. See, there are people that would comment on something like that and say it's magic. They're legalists. There are other people that would say, did you see God brighten the lights when he came toward us? There were people for years here that thought the anointing in here smelled like what? Roses. And they would notice it when Mother Parsley got really anointed, because that's when she would perspire and her rose perfume. You think I'm playing? I'm not playing. I had a preacher preaching in here one time. He said, behold, look up there toward those lights. The cloud of God. No, it's stuff we put in so you can see the lights better. I'm just trying to show you. One side is criticizing this way. The other side is criticizing this way, and neither one of them right. Because the key word is criticizing and judging. Just say this, Lord Jesus, help me get to heaven. Stop making a habit, is that what it says? Yeah. To forsake the habit of criticizing, oh, it's up there, and judging others. Can't just read the Bible, got to read the Bible. Shout the word that starts with O. Others, right? Does it start with M? Me? No. So you could read it this way. Do not forsake the habit of criticizing and judging you. I take Holy Communion, receive the table of the Lord every morning of my life, the first thing that I do, because I want to remember the best I can that Jesus is in me and I am in him as he is in the Father and the Father's in him, right? Because I'm going out there to face that world, right? So I want to be conscious of that before I leave. And while I'm doing that, I remember that when you receive the blood and body of Jesus, you're supposed to examine yourself. Man, what would the church look like if every one of us spend our time judging, being critical of, and examining ourselves, that we spend getting a speck out of everybody else's eye. Shall give us balance. And you will, judging others, and you will not be criticized and judged. Boy, that's powerful. In return, don't condemn others, and you will not be condemned. Forgive. Over. Come on, read with me. Forgive. Now, if he didn't think you were going to need forgiveness over and over, he wouldn't have said it. The true Son of God serves willingly from the heart. So here's kind of the thing. Again, there's a divorce in the church. There are those who believe themselves to be sons of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. There are those. And that's a good revelation. Then there are others who believe they're slaves. And the slave mentality does not like the son mentality. And the son mentality will fight against the slave mentality. Because the errancy of grace is that you can do anything you want, anytime you want, and there's no consequence. The errancy of law is that we have the right to take it and judge anybody else. Man, it's awfully quiet in here. Anybody been digging in the trash? The true son serves God willingly from the heart. So the issue becomes those who maintain that a son has no responsibility to serve. You're not going to catch me, sir. I'm in ministry. You're not a servant. Do you understand the dichotomy? Am I getting through to you? Responsibility to serve anyone but themselves. These folks are actually in the church only for what they can get out of it. You can spot them. You know, somebody asked me one time, would you give us a definition? I think I was in Valor. Would you give us a definition of servant? My answer, my response was, no, I can't. And I don't know that anyone can. But I can tell you this. The minute you see one, you'll know it. And the same is true on the converse. The minute you find someone that doesn't have 1 ounce of servanthood in their entire spiritual being, you will know it. They will make it loud and clear. The prodigal son, Luke 15, had that attitude. He demanded his inheritance and then wasted it on rebellious, riotous living. His sonship, therefore, became slavery. But not in the way you think. This is where we get it backwards. Romans 6:16 says this. Don't you realize, oh, this is, whoa, everybody just shout because of what I'm going to tell you. Don't you realize that grace, watch, here's what grace frees you to do. Not to sin. That's not what grace frees you to do. I'm talking about what grace frees you to do now. Don't you realize that grace frees you to choose your own master? But choose you will and choose you have. Watch now. It's not multiple choice. You don't get to choose three. How many times have you heard me say, you don't get his life and yours too? Most of the problems that people in ministry have, people with a call of God on their life, is that they're constantly kicking against the pricks. They refuse, watch, to fully surrender. It's God, I will do this, this, and this, but I will not do that. And you know what the that is? Exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Because that's your flesh, that's your will, that's your pride that keeps you from the fullness of God. I changed enough dirty diapers in my life. The minute you say that, that's exactly what he'll require from you. What gives you the right? So this old song. You thought I forgot, didn't you? That I was telling them. It's called Signs. Late 60s. Signs, signs. Everywhere is sign. Who said that? God, Amy, are you that old? You're not that old. You are an old soul. I will give you that. You are an old soul. And thank you for my delicious cabbage soup with some beef in it. She made me yesterday. And I came out, it was a long day, man. Lots of devils got punched in the gut. And I was like, I don't want another pizza. And they came back and they said, Amy made you something. I said, okay. So I had to text her on the way to church tonight. And I said, look, you put enough cabbage in that soup and I've had four bowls. So if I hand you the mic during my sermon, I'll be back. It says, signs, signs, everywhere signs. Somebody telling me what to do. Somebody looking down their nose at me. Blocking out the scenery. What? Breaking my mind. Who was that? Mark? Mark, you're an old soul. Blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign? Now the sign said, long-haired freaky people. This is in the late 60s when everybody grew their hair as long as they could. And my dad kept mine shaved off. I didn't know what color my hair was till I was 13. It took 3 minutes. That was it. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign? The sign said, long-haired, freaky people. Say it. Right here in the Bible. Women. Don't cut your hair. Women, sit down. Long-haired, freaky people need not apply in this church. Need not apply. So I put on a cap and said, imagine that. So I climbed up on the fence and I yelled at the house. Hey, what gives you the right to put up a sign to keep me out or to keep Mother Nature in. If God were here, he'd tell you to your face, man, you some kind of sinner. Well, if these verses are true, the song was right. Give me that. There it is. What does God give you the grace to do? Choose your own master. But you better choose carefully. You know, the problem with most Christians is not that Satan's on the throne of their heart. It's that they're scooting Jesus off. I went over big. Like when I'm dying with cancer, oh God, I'll do anything. You get well, go on a missions trip. Go put door hangers out. There's not a single human being in this room that if you were told you had cancer and would probably die and not live, that in that moment wouldn't say you'd do anything for Jesus. But as soon as you get your strength back, it'll be you putting up the signs. It'll be you telling everybody you got a right. Sometimes I just want God to cut me some Kentucky slack. And just for 15 seconds, let me go all Kentucky up. I have a right. Have you teach me? That one was an MMA fighter. I'm like, yeah, teach me some. Right? Choose carefully. Right? Because there aren't many choices. It's kind of like this. You, Satan, Jesus, or other people. And here's an equal problem. Your fear of other people. The number one reason that your Bible gives for Hell's Hall of Fame is fear. And the number one fear in our culture is fear of other people. We've lost the fear of God. That took wings and flew away. We've lost respect, honor for parents. We've lost respect and honor for authorities of any kind. So who's your master? Master. Let me explain to you what master means. You don't get a choice. You think I've made it 50 years because what I do is easy? What planet are you from? You that just dropped in 15 minutes ago. You haven't been here. So humble yourself. And don't act like you have. Unless you've done things like these men have done. Gone back and listened to 90% of whatever came out of my mouth. Then you might know a little something. You want to judge this place? Really? Show me your blind eyes. Show me 5 million souls. Show me 50 years of integrity. I have people all the time. Is he still preaching? And then I have people all the time. I sure thank God for Pastor Rod. I've been watching him since 1991. And he's never changed. You don't serve God because it's easy. Go work at Wendy's. Sell insurance. Dig ditches. Be a medical doctor. Jonah and I used to say, when there were over 800 students at Valor Christian College, and we'd drive past that campus over there, Miss Joni would say, about every time I drive by there, I want to get up on the hood of my car and scream, get out while you can. Let me tell you, preacher type something. If you can do anything else and live, do it. Do it. Because there are some of us that are not waiting till the door opens. It's good stuff. This will grow you up. Won't it? How you two doing? It's good to see you. Proud of you. Choose how? Carefully. For you surrender yourself to become the servant bound to the one you choose to obey. You obey yourself, you're bound. And I don't care how hard you try, kick, scream, jerk, you're never going to be free because you are bound to you. Paul said, God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Paul said, Elder Canfield, who shall deliver me from this body of death? You know why he said that? Because one of the major ways of punishment in the first century was if you had murdered someone, they wouldn't just murder you. They would take that murdered body and strap it to you and make you carry it until that body became so full of filth and decay, and disease, and parasites. Who are you keeping company with? Until the guilty party would succumb to death because of that dead body they're carrying around. A lot of relationships are like that. Who do you hang with? People that edify you or people that just tell you what you want to hear? Because if they tell you what you want to hear, they are not a mentor. They are a friend. And a whole lot of the time, what you don't need is a friend. You need somebody to tell you the truth. Man, this is good. The prodigal did what those who advocate a false, contemptible version of grace do. You understand? That's what he did. I want my stuff. It's my stuff. I want it now. They take the manifold blessing of God and squander it on themselves. That's why the Bible says, remember your Creator in the day of your youth. They squander the grace of God, the strength of God, youth, vitality, vibrancy, mental acuity, creativity, talent, squander it on their desires and their flesh and their pride of life. The prodigal lost everything. Can I remind you of that? He lost his own self-respect. He became indistinguishable from the culture of his day. He lived with hogs, and he was worse off than the hogs. The hogs had full bellies. His belly was empty. They were fulfilling their purpose. He wasn't anywhere close to fulfilling his. Finally, he recognized that even his father's servants, there it is again, were better off than he was. Listen, you and I must avoid at all cost, both of these extremes. Being bound by legalism or being bound by a false, cheap version of God's unparalleled grace. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said it this way. When Christ calls a man, he bids him, this is a play on words from an old hymn of the church called Come and Dine, D-I-N-E. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. Bonhoeffer said, when Christ calls a person, he bids them come and die. Now watch, because now we're going to get to the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter of law and grace and harmony in the Christian life is the cross. Now, I have to step in here because those that do preach on the cross rarely preach it any other time than like Easter, right? Because all they equate the cross to is personal benefit. It was at the cross, his blood forgives my sins, heals my body, brings me into covenant prosperity, and that's all the cross is. That's why people always, you know, that young lady, very, very big influencer, they said, why do you wear that cross? Well, because it's jewelry. See, there's no understanding. You know that place I was telling you about where you can get to where both of these extremes become perfectly balanced in your life? There's only one place. At the bottom of that cross. It's only there, that you can understand the harmony of law and grace. Only there. You can have all the, you valor professors, you can have all the theological debates and religious arguments you want. None of it will change the truth that once a person glimpses, God help me, glimpses the true meaning of Calvary's cross, once that person has seen the Lamb of God scourged, bolted to that angry, mean, biting beam, once we truly allow the reason Jesus endured it all to take our human hearts hostage. God's law, God's grace are no longer mysteries to be pondered or problems to be debated, but they are gospel truth shouted by an expiring Savior from that rugged rail. Abounding grace becomes his glorious gift to be received with awe, with wonder, with humility. And his law becomes our guardrail and boundary of divine safety. Instead of struggling with his law, kicking against the pricks, we begin to sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord, Lord of all. Give him praise, give him glory. You learn anything? Did you learn anything? Let us no longer discuss sacred theology unless we are first determined to be sacred people. Let us not take the great truths of Scripture and make them bartering tools to attempt to fashion a compromise with this filthy world, with its self-seeking, self-indulgent, me, me, me culture. So I'll continue to preach about how the law of God applies in the gleaming light of his grace. But not until you and I fall so desperately, suffocatingly in love with Jesus, so tearfully thankful and grateful for his cross, and completely give ourselves to him and him alone, so that any claim he places upon our lives is our welcomed command. Only after we love his cross can we submit to his divine purpose in our personal lives. Only then will we be joyful travelers on the road of revelation that will lead us to the fulfillment of the purposes of God's immutable law and his immeasurable grace played out harmoniously in our lives. Bless you.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, I want to invite you to tell someone in your life about the podcast. Hope you'll do it today. Head on over to iTunes and leave a review. Share it on your social networks for me. Really helps me get the word out. I'd love for you to connect with me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. No easier way for me to minister to you every day and throughout the day, and for us to join together in faith as God moves in and through your life. You can find links to all my pages at rodparsley.com. God bless you now, and I hope you'll listen again soon.